welcome to another edition of the Ted Brower Show with my co-host, Austin Brower. It's a rainy Thursday down here for me today. It's kind of a gloomy kind of a day. It was interesting, Austin. Last night, I had a dream about geoengineering, and I'll have to tell the listeners later on about what the dream meant. It could have just meant that I had too much that I had too many vitamins before I went to bed. I don't know, but it was interesting. And so, but I'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But let me, I want to read a couple Bible verses from you because I really liked that yesterday when we did that because I really love God's Word. I mean, I've literally read the New Testament hundreds of times. I've read the Torah, I don't even know how many times. I've read the book of Proverbs hundreds of times. I've read Ecclesiastes hundreds of times. I've read the entire Bible through multiple times. And that doesn't make me a better person than anybody listening. It makes me a really fast reader, Austin. I mean, I could crank about two or three books a week if I need to. And I remember when back in fifth grade they tested me, Oz, and I was reading about 350 to 375 words a minute in fifth grade. So that's with like 100% comprehension. So it was really fun for me in college. I got to do a lot of reading, and I got into a real big habit of reading in college, and I still do that. So I want to read some stuff out of Proverbs to you. But I won't go at 350 words a minute. I'll go slower. Proverbs 3, this is written by King Solomon, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son that he delights in. I love that verse, Austin. That's one of my favorite. And then another one, there's another really good one that I like too. I want to read you this one, and I got one in Proverbs chapter 27 I want to read you. I love this one too. This reminded me of the seminar circuit that I used to do with President Bush and the boys, and Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell, and how it changed people, and how I've seen a lot of pastors who start off as just real people, and then they start making a lot of money and start getting a lot of notoriety, and they start getting recognized all over the world, and they change. And it's the praise they receive. And they start thinking, in many cases, that they're better than other people, for a better word of putting it. It does the same thing with politicians who don't want to meet with their constituents any longer. It's the same thing with people that are radio, TV show personalities. And that's what we have to realize, is that that's not what God calls us to do. In Proverbs 27:21 is one of the ones when I was on TBN years ago, I actually used this verse, and I wasn't invited back again, so maybe they didn't like this one. And it's Proverbs 27:21. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but a man is tested by the praise that he receives. In other words, the crucible is used for silver to determine its purity, and the furnace is used for gold to determine its purity. But a man is tested by the praise that he receives. See, guys, realize this. There are no superstars in the Patriot movement. We don't exist, okay? And if anybody wants to try to make themselves a superstar, they want to become a megalomaniac or whatever, it's not of God. And it's just bad. Another verse that I like is Proverbs 26:27. It says, if a man digs a pit, he will fall into it. And if a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. And a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattery mouth works ruin. We all need to realize that we need to do the things that God wants us to do, be involved with the things that God wants us to do. 5 years ago, God woke me up out of a dream, spoke to me audibly in the dream, but I was sleeping, shook me to my very core. I woke up soaking wet about 1 o'clock in the morning, just shaking. I never had that happen. What happened once in my life, completely and totally revamped my life. It was an epiphany for me. I was like 55 years old, and it changed. And Austin, you still remember when that happened. I mean, nothing's been the same for me since then. And I was basically in a semi-retirement mode, just chilling out, hanging out with the kids, doing my thing. And I realized that God wanted me to do a whole lot more with my life. And that's what I've been doing. And I want to read you this. This is Proverbs 6, verse 16. And I try to live my life by this. And I try my best to do this. Now, everybody listen to what the word of the Lord says. Listen to what Solomon, who was the wisest man on the planet, according to the Bible, but also who went through some real hard trials and tribulations through the middle part of his life when he got involved with a lot of religions and other people's wives, and well, they weren't other people's. Well, he won up. Well, that was David's dad, but that was Bathsheba. But though Solomon got involved when he got married to a bunch of wives from other cultures, and they brought a bunch of heathen practices to him, and he finally escaped from that at the very end. But what he said, this is very good. Proverbs 6, verse 1, and pay attention to this because this is really important, especially in the patriot community, especially important that we do the things that we need to do to support one another. And oh, by the way, I will be back on Doug Hagman's show tomorrow night, on Friday night, for the full 3 hours. And I'll be covering some of these same scriptures then, plus a whole bunch of new news that I won't have time to get to today. I'm still kind of iffy whether I'll be on the show tomorrow, so maybe Austin goes solo on the show tomorrow, which he doesn't mind. And then I'll be able to be fresh for the 3-hour broadcast with Hagman tomorrow night. Here's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. In other words, you don't want to do this, okay? This is bad. Number 1 are haughty eyes. Number 2 is a lying tongue. Number 3 is a hand that will shed innocent blood. Number 4, a heart that devises wicked schemes. 5, feet that are quick to rush into evil. And 6 and 7, I guess it ties kind of together with these last two, a false witness who pours out lies. And finally, a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. We can't do that. God hates that. All of us in the patriot community have to work together. We have to love one another. We have to support one another. Do I agree with everything Alex Jones says? Absolutely not. Will you ever hear me criticize him on the show? Absolutely not. I will not do that because God hates that. I'm going to save my opinions for myself on those types of issues, or maybe one of my friends that I'm talking to, but it will never go out on the airwaves. Same thing with a lot of the other co-hosts and hosts out there. There are a lot of really good ones out there, a lot of really good ones I agree with, not all of them I agree with, but you'll never know which ones those are, because I am not, I repeat, I am not going to stir up dissensions among the brethren. Here's what I pray. I pray that all the people that are speaking the truth, all the people that are doing what they need to do for the patriot movement to try to bring back a restoration for the Constitution of the United States, I pray that God's light shines upon them. I pray his face shines upon them. I pray he blesses them and he gives them peace. Though 10,000 may fall their one side and 10,000 the other side, I pray that no harm shall touch them or their families, and they will walk in the glory of the Lord all the days of their life, them and their family. They'll be blessed and they'll be protected. All of them who preach the word, who preach the truth, who tell us the truth of what the word of God says. That's my prayer. I'm not going to jump into this chapter 6 of Proverbs for myself or my family. That's not why I was called to do this show. That's not why I'm doing this show. I appreciate everybody out there who's telling the truth and who's trying to do what's right. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, you're spot on, bud. I love Proverbs too. So those are always very substantial verses to me. They have a lot of meaning, and there's definitely really good truth behind all of it. Well, all the Bible.
Because guys, remember this. We have enough government trolls that are running around saying things about people trying to stir up dissension, that are being paid to do this. Don't join in with that mess. Don't allow that Tavistock programming to come into your life. It doesn't matter. If I agree with 60 or 70 or 80 or 90% of somebody, whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't agree with everything they say. In fact, I've got a personal email list that I send out to about 100 people 4 or 5 times a day. And if you're on that list and you're listening today, that's about all the people who get that. And I send out all kinds of different news stories. And I'll put a big link and say, look, I don't agree with all of this. I agree with part of this, or this is kind of a weird website. Put your Christian blinders on. You know, but what I tell people is this. I don't agree with everything I send out, but I want everybody to have the opportunity, Austin, to make up their own mind. I'm not going to censor the information from them. Let them decide on what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. This whole thing with what's going on with the international banking community and the takeover of the United States by these fascists, it's unbelievable. And if we all have to work together in the aggregate. Last night I went out and saw the movie The Big Short. And I don't recommend it from a, the movie's filthy, okay? It's got nudity in it. I didn't know it was going to have that. And it's got more F words in it than any movie I've ever gone to. It's almost ridiculous. And if the people in Wall Street really talk like that, gosh, are they a bunch of heathen up there? It's awful. I mean, every other word was F this and F that. It was awful. But I sat through it because I wanted to listen and watch what was going on. And finally, I saw it, and I realized what had already happened with all the shorts they were doing with the credit swaps. And I finally realized just how incredibly corrupt Wall Street really, really, really is, and how many people were involved with what happened in 2007 and 2008. How people were actually having their dogs get mortgages and buying homes, and how hookers and strippers owned five houses and a condo, and they showed no income verification. And how the banks were making billions and billions of dollars in bonuses and fees and everything else just because they were selling all these mortgages to anybody and they were packaging it with AAA rated securities. Unbelievable. And everything was a fraud. And it almost bankrupted. It almost broke down the entire world's financial system. And the United States had to go on the hook for the trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars the Fed printed in off-book balance sheets. So we have no idea where it is or what it's doing to try to salvage that mess. So guys, listen to me. Do what's right in the eyes of God. Read Solomon's work. Read Proverbs. Read the Torah, for heaven's sakes. Read the five first books of Levitical law. You know, the Pentateuch. Incredible amount of information in there. God tells you what he wants us to do and how he wants us to work and how he wants us to act. Read the New Testament when it talks about Jesus. Now he came. The New Covenant. The Good News. And understand who Jesus Christ was and how we're sanctified through him by grace, through faith in him. I appreciate you guys. Awesome. What's your first story?
Well, it's interesting you were saying that about the financing stuff, because I remember back in the day, like 2006, right when everything was spooled up at about its peak, I remember I had a buddy that went in and had decent credit, and back then you could go into a dealership, a motorcycle dealership, and he bought a brand new motorcycle with no money down and no verification of income, didn't bring in a stub, nothing. Basically just signed papers and walked out with a brand new bike. And you're absolutely right. The loaning back then was absolutely ridiculous. They would literally loan to anybody. They would give mortgages to anybody, even if they had a 400 Beacon score and knew that they'd never be able to repay it back. And then the biggest one down here in Florida was the ballooning mortgages. It would start off, you know, at like $800 a month. And then all of a sudden, you know, two or three years into it, it would balloon to like a $3,500 mortgage. And I remember people left and right were dropping out of houses around here. I mean, it was crazy for a point in time. I mean, the foreclosure rate was insane. Even in Central Florida, down south, it was even worse. But the first article I wanted to go on, this is the good news. Hopefully, we can keep pushing it further and further. You know, Florida had been working on a GMO labeling bill. Hasn't gotten much traction yet. However, Rhode Island just introduced another mandatory labeling bill, Bill H-7274, that was introduced this week, that basically would require food companies to disclose if their products contain any GMO ingredients. It would require packaged food or raw agricultural products to be labeled products with genetic engineering, effective the beginning January 1st of next year. We'll see if we can get it to go through, because these Monsanto boys are basically getting more and more out of control. This is crazy. In California now, Monsanto is suing the state of California, yes, the state of California, because the state of California said they were going to put the main ingredient in the company's herbicide, the glyphosate, on the state's list of known carcinogens. It's a known carcinogen. They've tested it as a known carcinogen, and California law requires the state to keep a list of cancer-causing chemicals to inform residents of risk using products that contain those materials. So, by law, California said it's a known carcinogen. We're listing glyphosate as a known carcinogen. So Monsanto went in and basically is disputing it, saying that there's several decades of studies showing that glyphosate is completely safe. Listing would require Monsanto to provide a clear and reasonable warning to customers that the chemical is known to cause cancer, damaging Monsanto's reputation and violating its First Amendment right. And now, I mean, Monsanto, I mean, it's like everything with them is completely inverted, like you've talked about before, Dad. You know, evil is good, good is evil with them. Everything is completely reversed. And I mean, I guess that's what they do. They genetically modify things. So that's pretty normal behavior for a company like that. But just when I read stuff like this, that state-mandated law in California requires carcinogenic compounds to be listed, and Monsanto says, no, you can't list it, we're going to sue you. I thought it was really interesting.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, Austin. And the problem is Monsanto's own documentation from the 70s and the 80s that has been completely exposed to the Freedom of Information Act shows that it causes cancer like in a dozen different areas in the body. Their own research proves that it causes cancer, but I guess because that was maybe sealed information or whatever from another court case, they're going to try to say that doesn't exist. But what it is again is just more obfuscation, because what they want to do is they want to delay the labeling on this product and completely obfuscate the truth with false research to try to get a judge to issue a court order saying that glyphosate doesn't cause cancer when we all know that it does. I have stopped using it. I use salt now. I've told you guys that repeatedly. And it's a lot safer for the kids, a lot safer for the wildlife, a lot safer for me. Yeah, I mean, because I like to run around outside barefoot too, and probably gotta be careful though. When you run around outside barefoot on rock salt, you'll do it one time, you won't do it twice. Here's the good news. Donald Trump is now doing a live stream for the Veterans event in Des Moines, Iowa tonight, starting at 8 p.m. And listen to this, you guys hang on, CNN is picking it up for free. So not only is he not going to have to deal with this nutbag Megyn Kelly, he's now going to have the ability to do his own presentation when everybody's already seated and waiting for the debate, and everybody only waits to hear from Donald anyhow, and the rest of them are a bunch of bobos as far as everybody on the planet is concerned. 87% of one poll said that had tens and tens of thousands of people answer the poll that they were not going to watch the Fox debate. I hope their numbers are crushed, because they'll have to start refunding a whole bunch of money for the advertisers who they jumped the rate card on because of the amount of people that were going to be watching that tonight. Megyn Kelly is a cut-rate broadcaster. I have absolutely no respect for her. When she started off that last debate, the first one she did with Trump, and threw him under the bus that hard, I don't blame him for not doing it. But quite frankly, he also told them that they were going to have to donate like $5 million to the Wounded Warrior program if they wanted him back on again. They have refused to give anything to our veterans. It's all about greed and Murdoch wanting more and more and more money. So sadly, Trump basically said, I'm not going to do this. And I saw one of the funniest things last night. I audibly laughed out loud, not hysterically, but I was laughing pretty good. Ted Cruz said, while he was being interviewed by Sean Hannity, that Donald Trump was so scared of Megyn Kelly that he was quaking in his boots. I still can't say it without laughing. Are you kidding me? The presidential front runner, candidate, billionaire, entrepreneur, just unbelievable, best-selling author, TV personality, brilliant everything, is quaking in his boots because of a bimbo who gets on Howard Stern's show, talks about her breast size and her husband's appendage size. Are you kidding me? What a joke. I cannot even believe that he even said something. Again, it's like slamming New Yorkers, and then Trump just turned it on him. I have a good friend of mine who's one of the top real estate attorneys in New York City. Brilliant, brilliant man. I mean, the guy is brilliant. And he doesn't know Trump personally, but he knows the deals that Trump's been involved in, and he knows Trump's reputation. And he said the Donald is for real. The Donald is for real. He also said there's a major problem that if Hillary does get indicted, that Obama will probably pardon her, which I've already expected that. And if Bernie Sanders and either Hillary get it turns into a brokered convention and everything goes sideways, they put Biden on the ticket, who's the current vice president, as the presidential running person for the Democratic Party. And he said the problem is, he says Biden's very likable. He said he's not real bright, but he's very, very likable. And so that was interesting. We also talked about Jeb Bush, and no one could figure out why he couldn't get any traction. And then finally I said, well, you know, his brother and Obama have both been awful. But what's interesting about this is everybody's starting to realize that Prescott Bush was involved in 1933 and tried to enlist Smedley Butler to do a hostile coup to bring a fascist dictatorship into the United States government. And Smedley Butler blew the whistle before Congress. And this is the Bush deal. So, I mean, we got a lot of stuff that's bad on the Bushes that we realize after we've had two presidents named Bush. I don't think Jeb has a snowball's chance, even though the GOP still wants to put him in there. I know that for a fact because I've had a lot of people from the GOP contact me concerning this, but I don't think they possibly can if at the convention Trump gets a majority to start with and we don't end up with some brokered convention. I just hope they don't pull some hanky-panky shenanigans on us and give Hillary the election or Biden the election or Bernie Sanders the election, because the Republicans are so angry that their good old boy politics is coming to an end and they're putting a real business leader in there who's not going to play games with people anymore. Also, I hope Trump wins this election. What's your next story?
Yeah, I do too. This is interesting. This just came out. A independent company basically went and tested like over 30 different brands of bottled water all across the board. And it came out now in the full test. I was reading it here. 22 brands of these bottled water all contain notable amounts of fluoride in them. Yes, fluoride. Five of those brands, all five of them, are owned by Nestle, including Zephyr Hills, which is awesome. That's our local water here in Florida, which is fantastic. Poland Spring, Ice Mountain, Deer Park, and Arrowhead. The other nine were all DS Services. And then there were a few in between, like seven more that were all just random companies. If you guys don't know what DS Services, it's DS Services of America. They're one of the largest water delivery companies in the whole United States as far as they deliver water. They deliver the big five-gallon ones that go to the water coolers. They own Ombra, Baymont Springs, Crystal Springs, Hinckley Springs, Kentwood Springs, Mount Olympus, Nursery Water, Sierra Springs, and Sparklets. They all own all of those, and they add fluoride to all of their water. So I'm just letting everybody know this. Just because you're drinking bottled water does not mean you're not getting notable toxins, including fluoride, in your water. The most of these waters tested is pretty pure. They weren't tap water. They were clean, which means they had to physically add fluoride back into them during the bottling process. Because most of the time when they're molecularly distilling water and reverse osmosing it, there's usually little, if any, fluoride left in it. And all the amounts that were noted in these quality reports were all more than would be naturally occurring in the water, meaning they physically added it. So I just want everybody to be aware of that. I'll probably post the list on the website tonight just so everybody can get an idea of it, because a lot of these are very, very big names like Arrowhead, Deer Park, Crystal Springs, Zephyr Hills. These are all notable store brands that are almost every major chain across the United States. So I just wanted to get you guys informed on that.
You know, I had a medical doctor tell me one time that Prozac, the active ingredient in Prozac, was fluoride. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Because, I mean, I think it's fluorexidine or something like that. I don't remember the generic name of it. But I know this, that fluoride was used in the concentration camps in Germany in World War II to make the inmates servile and infertile. And that it's a drug. And if they're using it as a drug to prevent cavities, it's being administered to us as a drug in our water that has started back in 1946 after we basically invaded the concentration camps and saw what they were putting into the water there. They started dumping it into the water in the United States. You can watch the movie Dr. Strangelove. I've talked about that before. This is from, like, I think 1962 or 63. And World War III was started because of the use of fluoride. Fluoride is a neurotoxin. It drops IQ points and it makes people stupid. And a lot of people drink a lot of fluoride. I thank God Almighty that when I was a kid, we had a well on our property, and we only drank well water. And because I tell you what, that's a mess. So the show today is brought to you by HealthMasters.com, HealthMasters.com. And we have great water distillation systems in our office, and we sell them. We have a countertop model that's a few hundred dollars, and we have another model that basically will pump water to your refrigerator and pump water to your ice maker for a couple $1,000s, and it makes distilled water, and I can guarantee you there won't be any fluoride in it. That won't happen. You can take city water and run through it. You can take well water and run through it, and you have purified water. I've been using it for almost 30 years, and it's the best tasting water I've ever had. And I'm so dismayed because I did not know that the bottled water companies were adding fluoride. I knew some of them threw some chlorine in there, Austin, as far as preserving shelf life, but I had no idea they were dumping fluoride in the water supply, which brings me to my next story. This is interesting. So HealthMasters.com, 1-800-726-1834, HealthMasters.com. This is by Michael Schneider, who I really like, who I interviewed on the Power Hour when I was guest hosting there for Joyce. Americans really, really hate the government. If there is one thing that Americans can agree on these days, it's the fact that most of us don't like the government. CBS News has just released an article entitled Americans Hate the U.S. Government More Than Ever. And an average of recent surveys calculated by Real Clear Politics found that 63% of all Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction, and only 28% of Americans believe the country is heading in the right direction. Like, they must be globalists or communists, or just doped down or drugged down on fluoride. In just a few days, the first real ballots of the 2016 election will be cast in Iowa. And up to this point, the big story of this cycle has been the rise of the outsider candidates, and that many of the pundits have assumed would never have a legitimate chance, including Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Bernie Sanders. They've all been beneficiaries of the overwhelming disgust that the American people feel regarding what has been going on in Washington. And it isn't just Barack Obama or members of Congress that Americans are disgusted with. According to the CBS News article that I referenced above, our satisfaction with various federal agencies has fallen to an 8-year low. So if we are all fed up with the way things are running, it should be pretty easy to fix, right? Unfortunately, things are not that simple. In America today, we are more divided as a nation than ever. Obama has seen to this. If you ask 100 different people how we should fix the country, you're going to get 100 different answers. We no longer have a single shared set of values or principles that unites us. And therefore, it is going to be nearly impossible for us to come together on specific solutions. And this is what I was talking to you about a few minutes ago. I'm not going to read any more of the article. You can read the whole article if you like. It's under the Economic Collapse blog under Michael Schneider. But the thing about it is, what Mike's trying to say is this. We've got to stick together. This Tavistock training that we've gone through, trained to do, has been done on her purpose. And Fox is just one of those people that's been doing it with Megyn Kelly. I mean, Fox is supposed to be the Republican, right-wing, conservative network. But, of course, it's owned by Murdoch, who's anything but those things. And the sad part about this is it's almost as like they have to put a opposite pole. You got the good and the bad, like good cop, bad cop, to try to keep everybody divided, which I think they pretty much do that. And for Fox to have done this is egregious to me. It's egregious to put Megyn Kelly back in there again. And the only reason they did it, because they wanted to see if they could get a slap down between him and Megyn Kelly on the show. And that's why I think he's so smart. Remember, Reagan did not do his last debate with Mondale either. He went directly into the Iowa the following week and didn't do the debate because he didn't want to be involved in it. He's already leading in the polls so far. Trump was very, very smart not doing this. Very, very good strategy. He could only go one way, and that's down. In fact, he may not even do any more debates. He may just say, cancel the debates. I'm done with this nonsense. And I wouldn't blame him if he did, because all they're going to do is take cheap shots on him and bring a bunch of half-truths on him now at this point. So shame on you, Fox. And I'm asking all of you as my listeners, and I've never done this before. Now, I can't make you do it, because obviously I can't, but I'm asking you to do this for me. Please do not tune in to Fox tonight. Do not watch the debates at all. Don't even flip through the debates, because it'll show up on your cable box as you watched part of it. It'll help their numbers. Make sure you only watch CNN, which is going to be live with Donald Trump, which is I'm going to be tuning to, and don't be flipping back and forth to the Fox network. Just let it go, let it drop, leave it alone. Show Fox how you've had it with politics as usual. You've had it with throwing people under the bus. You've had it with stupid questions to people that are trying to help. And you've had enough. We've got to stand. We have to stand together in the aggregate. If it's Donald Trump that's going to help us, so be it. Let it be Donald Trump. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, definitely spot on. I mean, I don't normally, nor would I ever recommend watching CNN, unless their stuff's pretty much garbage. But in this incident, they're going to be covering this because they probably will. They go where the money goes, and they know that the higher amount of ratings are probably going to end up being with Donald Trump tonight. Yeah, I completely agree with you that. I don't even watch.
I'm like you, Austin.
Either one of them.
I call CNN the communist news network or constant negative news.
Yeah.
But the point is, you talk about they just pulled a Trump card on Fox. I mean, unbelievable. Brilliant, brilliant marketing strategy. What's your next story, buddy?
Next one. This is interesting here. Pretty much the most oppressive forced vaccination bill ever introduced in history of any state is basically being fast-tracked through Virginia today. Now listen to me, guys. If any of you guys live in Virginia, you need to look this up. This is Bill HB 1342. They're scheduled to have a House hearing on it today, a public hearing that you can go attend It says here in Richmond, Virginia. This is interesting. This whole bill is insane. It's pretty much is sponsored by an attorney and co-sponsored for the purpose of eliminating the religious belief vaccination exemption for all children attending daycare and schools in the state, including homeschooled children in the state of Virginia. The bill, which is HB 1342, would additionally prohibit state-licensed doctors and nurse practitioners, listen to this, from exercising professional judgment and delaying administration of or granting a child a medical exemption that does not conform with the narrow federal vaccine contraindication guidelines. Let me reiterate what they just said there. Not only do they want to get rid of all religious beliefs exemptions for homeschoolers, they want to make sure they prohibit all doctors and nurse practitioners from exercising professional judgment. This means if a child is having numerous issues and reactions to vaccines, they're already having problems with autism, they're already having issues with mental clarity, the vaccines are already causing health issues, and the doctor goes, this is a bad idea, we need to wait, we need to postpone these, we need to give him 6 months to see how he responds, this law would prohibit the doctor from doing that and would mandatorily mandate that this doctor, by law, forcibly vaccinate that child under the different doses. They have 31 doses of 12 federally required vaccines that are going to be mandated in this. If you guys live in Virginia, you better get on the phone. You better go downtown, wherever you need to go. You need to look this up. It's HB 1342. I just saw it today. It's been sidelined. They've been trying to go real, real slow so nobody saw anything about it. This is the most aggressive vaccine bill in the history that I've ever read before. Do whatever you can about it if you live in Virginia.
Well, they want homeschoolers won't get an exemption. You won't get a religious exemption. There are basically no exemptions. I mean, I guess I guess if you were deathly allergic to eggs or to latex, you probably wouldn't have to be examined and get a vaccine, but you'd be fighting them not to do that. Guys, if you're in Virginia or you know people in Virginia, call them up and warn them about this, especially if you know homeschool communities in Virginia, and go down and start writing letters immediately and sending emails to the congressmen in Virginia who are doing all of this. This is another one of these blithering idiot globalist deals that they're trying to force all these people into a cattle chute and just shoot them up and not worry about any of the side effects or any of the problems. Here's an interesting article. This is from Russia Today. Sweden is to deport nearly 80,000 asylum seekers among migrant-linked violence. Ha! Now they're sending them back, Austin. 80,000 of them. Okay? That's a lot of people. Sweden is planning to expel nearly 80,000 refugees and migrants who arrived in the country in 2015, Interior Minister Anders Ygeman said. Asking that their applications for asylum have been rejected, we are talking about 60,000 people, but the number could climb to 80,000. Swedish media quoted Ygeman as saying, police and local authorities have been tasked with organizing the departures by charter flights. The countries of origin of the rejected asylum seekers have not been disclosed. All I can say to you in Sweden is good luck finding them.
Yeah,
God. We're going to send you back to the hell hole of North Africa. We're going to dump you off on the tarmac. You're not going to get anything else from us, and we're going to let you go ahead and just rot down there and die of starvation because we bombed your countries into oblivion. We bombed your water supplies, and we bombed your electrical supplies. So we're going to send you out on the tarmac. Good luck finding them. Good luck with any of this. They're just going to go right into the underground. If they pick up 4,000 or 5,000 of these 80,000, Austin, they're going to be really, really lucky.
Oh, yeah, I'll be shocked, to be honest with you. They couldn't even contain all the ones that were coming into Germany. Every time he turned around, there were another 700 that disappeared from this group, another 1,000 that disappeared from this camp. I mean, they're not going to knowingly comply with that and get shit back. They like it in Europe. They like trying to implement their Sharia law. That's what they do. That's what they're going for.
Okay. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Michigan Governor Rick Schneider has no plan to remove the poison pipes in Flint. I guess the governor in the state of and Michigan is so broke already, they're not going to be spending tens of millions of dollars to remove the poison pipes that are loaded with lead and flint. NBC News says a day after the NBC News reported that none of the corroded lead pipes at the core of the Flint water crisis have been removed. Michigan Governor Rick Schneider admitted he has no immediate plans to replace them. NBC News repeatedly pressed the embattled governor Wednesday on how he expects to win the trust of Flint's residents while the pipes that have poisoned the water supply are still being used. There are up to 25,000 service lines containing lead that run between water mains and homes in Flint. Yeah, you're talking tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. Michigan is broke. They're just broke. That's turned into a failed state. And sadly, they're not going to fix it. The municipality is either going to have to shut it down, people have to move out. But this is old stuff. Some of these water lines and mains have been there for over 100 years. Over 100 years, Austin. They may be buried 20, 30 feet down now with all the sediment
and stuff,
something else. And now they want to have to dig. It's just, the cost of doing this and replacing that infrastructure, it would be easier to run new pipes than to remove the old ones. It really would be. You could bury them 3 feet under the ground, but you got to be careful because of frost. You got to get below the frost heaves that you have in the wintertime because you don't want the pipes breaking and bursting. That's why they're always buried so deep. So what's your next story?
Next one, this is interesting. This coincides with the whole Obamacare bill that we saw with the whole new gun restrictions that they passed last year, stating any people with mental health cannot own firearms. They'll be confiscated. They're already doing this in California now. If they feel or think that you're not mentally fit, they automatically go in and seize all your weapons. A new recommendation has been released by the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force. A government advisory group is now recommending that all adults be routinely screened for depression as part of their health care. This is crazy. The guidelines, which were published in the Journal of American Medical Association, did not specify how often adults should be screened. And I'm not going to go into this whole article because it's just absolutely ridiculous. It's completely and totally just rhetoric. But what they're wanting to do now is anybody that has a health care plan, if they're wanting to make it mandatory that you're screened. They're not giving a specific how many times, but you're at least screened at some point in time for depression. Remember, they listed now that depression is a reason for you to lose your Second Amendment rights. They've listed it in the DSM-4 and the DSM-5 now. They've categorized it as a specific reason that you're no longer able to operate, own, or possess a firearm. This is what their whole goal is. They want to start everybody that's in these health care programs to get screened. Remember, it doesn't matter if you're depressed. It doesn't matter if you're really alert. It doesn't matter if you're really happy. All that matters is what the doctor puts down on your sheet or your paperwork. That's all that matters, your file. I mean, I remember a long time ago there was a Seinfeld episode, and some of the ones were a little raunchy. I never watched them, but occasionally one would come on, and I don't remember who it was. I think it was George. He couldn't get his file back. They wrote something in a doctor's office, and then he went to another doctor, and the file showed up there. And so it circled, and he couldn't ever get his file. It was a big joke. This is serious. This is what they're doing. Is once you get in that file of, okay, do you have any type of down thoughts? Are you ever tired? Do you ever feel sorry for yourself? Blah, blah, blah. They ask you all these lists of questions. If you answer to one of them, you could be susceptible to depression. Bam, that's it. You're automatically going to go on a list with the NSA, Homeland Security, all these guys. So next time you go to buy a firearm, they're going to stop you from buying it. Then it's going to flag you, so if you own any firearms, they're immediately going to come to your door and say you need to relinquish all firearms like they've already done in California multiple times. If you can stay out of the health care program, stay out of it. If you can stay healthy, if you can stay fit, if you can eat clean, you take supplements, you stay out of the doctor's office, that is my best advice to you. Do not go to the doctor unless it's an extreme emergency, in my opinion. Obviously, you have to do what you feel is best for you, but in my opinion, what I do in my personal life, the doctor is the absolute last resort, not the first method that I go to.
You're absolutely right, Austin. That information bureau is called the MIB, the Medical Information Bureau. I always refer to it as the Men in Black because MIB And it's awful. Once you get into that, you can't get back out of it. I remember years ago, this is crazy, I was getting some life insurance. I guess 15 years ago. I got my cholesterol tested. It was like 206, which is great. That's an incredibly good cholesterol. I mean, 250 was normal back then, but they wanted it under 200. And so they put me in as having high cholesterol. And I couldn't even believe it. And all of a sudden, the health insurance company, they wouldn't put me in their top category, and they wouldn't give me life insurance. So my cholesterol was 8 points above normal. And it was ridiculous. I had to go ahead and go on a diet for like a week, change my cholesterol. It takes like a week to get it down, and that was like 190, which is too low. And so I said, you know, this is ridiculous. And then I got my health.
What supplements did you run with that? Because you told me before you ran a couple supplements, too, to push it down faster.
You could do it pretty quick. The best way to lower down like that is just go vegetarian for a week and drink a bunch of water.
Okay.
And it really skews the numbers. Take a bunch of vitamin E and cod liver oil. Take cod liver oil and vitamin E and run a bunch of supplements every, you know, the normal dosing, you know, the B vitamins and all that. And then drink about a gallon of water a day, distilled water, and then go in there and your blood will be just, in a week, the cholesterol will drop. I mean, just almost immediately it'll drop. And it's amazing how people can do that. And if you really want to do it even quicker, you can get some sustained-release niacin if you're trying to do some kind of medical test. And the sustained-release niacin is a lot better for you than taking statin drugs. It doesn't cause, you know, liver failure and kidney cancer and everything else. So the sustained-release niacin does a great job of maintaining healthy cholesterol, and that's what I recommend if you want to do it. But I think your cholesterol, as long as it's 250 or, you know, around between 250 and 200, that's fine. Because if you go under 200, remember, all disease rates go up, including cancer. The further your cholesterol goes down, the higher the probability you're going to get cancer. Just one little thing they don't bother to tell you, and they need to tell you this. All statin drugs have one common side effect. They all cause cancer. That's what they've been shown to do. They all cause cancer. So if you're taking statin drugs and you've got a history of cancer in your family, you're really running a roulette game on yourself, bless your heart. And you need to be stopping all that. Plus, you need to be taking coenzyme Q10. If you are taking statin drugs, keep that heart muscle strong. But quite frankly, in my book, Breakthrough Health, I list top 10 drugs never to put in your body. And one of those drugs are the statin drugs, because there's too many natural ways to have healthy cholesterol than being involved with all this. Plus, now they know that cholesterol plays a very small role in heart disease and heart attacks anyhow. Almost all of this is inflammatory markers that are being elevated by certain types of dietary protocols, including trans fats and hydrogenated oils. And so cholesterol is a minor player in any of this anyhow. And I've been telling that to people for 30 years. Most of it has to deal with homocysteine and, you know, inflammatory conditions in the arteries, which cause the inflammation, which causes the body to start plaquing them. And a lot of it's also because a lot of people are taking a lot of calcium supplements that have so much calcium your body can't use. They're stored in the soft tissue, causing hardening of the arteries. Plus, when you drink spring water or mineral water that's loaded with calcium, that causes hardening of the arteries, because you put all this inorganic calcium into your body that your body can only use like 1 or 2% of. It's almost impossible to use. You're basically drinking rocks, liquid rocks, and you're basically calcifying your own arterial walls. And that's why they call it hardening of the arteries. And doctors, while performing bypass surgery, have actually cut their latex gloves, Austin, on these arteries that they have to cut because they're so sharp and so hard on the inside because they're lined with calcium. It's like a hot water heater pipe. And that's what happens with hardening of the arteries. And one of the primary things, again, is the use of calcium. In addition to that, you've got to be careful. When you use a lot of vitamin K, D3, like dog 3, D3, it's a sunshine vitamin, you've got to make sure you take vitamin K with it, because excessive quantities of K3, D3 will also cause hardening of the arteries. So you've got to be careful with that too. What's your next story, Oz?
Absolutely. Well, this one's interesting. As you know, the entire government always tries to portray to us that we shouldn't own firearms and we shouldn't have the right to own firearms, and they do everything they can to prevent us from owning firearms. Inventory reports now have now been released with DHS, obtained by the news site The Complete Colorado, now showing that over 1,300 badges, 165 firearms, and 589 cell phones were either lost or stolen from DHS over the period of 31 months between 2012 and 2015. 165 firearms were lost or stolen. Now, you guys have to understand one thing here. This is a government agency, same categories, FBI, ATF, all the stuff. There are no regulations on machine guns with federal agencies, the same way with military. They get machine guns, they have automatic weapons, is what that's referred to, which are real assault rifles. They get those whenever they want. They order them, they automatically send them to them. There's no tax stamps, there's no background checks. there's not listed in this inventory report of what the firearms were. I'm still trying to find it and find some more information on it. Right now it's just saying 165 firearms, which is bad enough. But other than that, 1,300 badges and credentials were either lost or stolen. So while we have this giant branch of the government that seeks to basically try and rule over us and tell us that we need to be scared of terrorism and we need to ban guns from American citizens and so forth, they're losing their badges, credentials, firearms, and cell phones all over the place, apparently, and yet nobody even brings this up. Nobody even responds to this. This is just, you know, hush-hush news, don't talk about it. I just thought that was interesting, the hypocrisy there. The obviously, it's very, very loose as far as how they maintain their weapons, their credentials, and all that. I don't understand how you get 165 firearms stolen in 31 months. I mean, you're talking like over five guns a month got stolen. Over a gun a week? Every week?
That's pretty sloppy.
Sloppy.
Here's another article. Campaigning in style, how Jeb Bush blew through his $80 million war chest. Jeb Bush has spent $80 million on his campaign. There were days at boutique hotels featuring rooftop pools, private members only jackets and clubs and tie events, Four Seasons, St. Regis, and the Mandarin Oriental. In the world of Jeb Bush, the campaign for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination has been at times a whirl of private jets and high-end affairs, according to the federal filings of Bush's campaign. It is not unusual for presidents to do this when they're running for, but usually they don't spend as much money. 11 of the 16 major donors contacted by Reuters question whether it was money well spent, especially given how the one-time frontrunner stumbled badly in the polls and is now facing questions about whether he should withdraw from the race. And if you look at the chart, every month he spent more money, his poll numbers dropped. And finally it peaked and his poll numbers have completely collapsed. You know, he was down at around, he dropped almost like 7%, now he's like at 8%. And the sad part about any of this stuff is the guy, he's just not a leader. You can tell he doesn't even want to be there, that he's being forced by his family, it looks like to me, to do this, and it's really, 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 really sad. Here's another good one. Obama turns against Hillary and brings known communist Bernie Sanders to the White House. President Obama will privately meet with Bernie Sanders at the White House, an unprecedented move which signals Obama is likely breaking ties with Hillary Clinton. Obama's invitation to the undercover underdog presidential candidate, who until recently struggled to break free of Hillary's dominance, comes as sources reveal the FBI is ready to indict Clinton and are even willing to blow the whistle and go public with their findings if the Attorney General doesn't press charges against Hillary Clinton. And again, if this happens, she'll probably still be pardoned, and she'll still probably be running for president as a pardoned felon. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's just crazy. So I don't know. I just think this is just absolutely ridiculous. Here's another one. Rand Paul, this is good, presidential campaign office has been burglarized, and his computers have been stolen. So if you were a Rand Paul supporter and your name's in it, good luck. You're probably getting audited. Truth in Media. Senator Rand Paul presidential campaign office in New Hampshire was broken into sometime in the past 24 hours, robbed of his computers with databases and campaign files, according to social media posts from one of the candidate's top advisors, Michael Biendu, serving as a national senior advisor for Senator Paul's presidential campaign, posted to his Facebook and Twitter accounts this morning with the following update: getting ready to go to Iowa today for the final caucus push, and now I am dealing with our New Hampshire for Rand Paul office being broken into. I needed more stress this morning. Thanks. I mean, wow. That's almost like Watergate, Austin, with them going back and forth and breaking into the Democratic National Headquarters. I mean, this is just crazy stuff that's going on. But again, what more would we expect from our completely and totally corrupt government? What's your next story, Austin?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I don't expect much different. This is an interesting story that I just fell upon today that a lot of people need to be aware of, especially in Texas. Texas is a big state. Texas is a free state. Texas is an awesome state, in my opinion. This new company now, Vigilant Solutions, they're one of the country's largest broker of vehicle surveillance technology, has basically offered law enforcement agencies in Texas a whole suite of automated license plate readers equipment and access to the company's massive database and analytic tools, and it won't cost the agency a dime. So I was reading this, and I started to look into it, and this is interesting now. What they're doing is they're mounting cameras on Texas cars, Texas police cars, troopers, sheriffs, and we've seen this in other states before, and this one right now is just getting well out of hand. The ALPRs, which are basically the license plate readers, they typically capture sensitive location information on all drivers. That's the issue with them now. Not just criminal suspects. They're nonspecific. So in the aggregate, the information goes into a database and reveals personal information such as where you go to church, what doctors you may visit, where you sleep at night, where your residence may be, where you visit, how many gun shows you were at this year. And what's interesting is the Vigilant, this whole program is leveraging the new Texas law that was passed last year, which is HB 121, that allows officers to install credit and debit card readers in their patrol vehicles to take payment on the spot for unpaid court fines, also known as capias warrants. When the law passed, Texas legislators argued that not only would it help local governments with their budgets, it would also benefit the public and police. So they wrote in there, and so at first when you read this, it kind of makes sense. The option of making such a payment at time of arrest could avoid contributing to already crowded jails, save time for arresting officers, and relieve minor offenders suddenly informed of uncollected payment when pulled over for a routine moving violation from the burden of dealing with an impounded vehicle, inconvenience of getting that out, supervising a children, different stuff. So you kind of go, okay, so you basically have an outstanding warrant you did or you did not know about. You get pulled over. The cop can basically take your payment instead of going to you taking you to jail. That's kind of nice. Well, then you start thinking about it. Well, if they're scanning these license tag readers, that means that the cops are no longer going to be doing anything productive. All they're going to be doing is getting pings off these cars. As soon as a car goes by and it picks up their license tag, it's going to say warrant. They're automatically going to pin you down and pull you over and basically threaten to arrest you or you take your license and, you know, take you to jail. What's interesting, though, is in turn when any government agency links up with Vigilant Access to information about the extending court fees, the company turns in a hot list to feed in the free ALRP system, which means as police cars patrol the system, they hit license plates associated with the fees. The officer then pulls the driver over and offers him a bargain. You go to jail or you pay the extra fine. What's interesting, though, is there's an extra 25% processing fee tacked onto this that they're essentially stealing from you. They're giving you the option, oh, you have a $200 warrant, so we're going to basically take you to jail, or you can pay a $250 fine, even though your warrant's only $200. You're paying an extra $50 as a processing fee to pay it now. And the Texas public apparently is quite outraged by this because they found out one of the breakdowns, like just in the city of Kyle, 5% of that fee was a credit card processing fee, another 5% was a credit card handling fee, and 15% was a vendor transaction fee. Nowhere were any other fees given or charged to anybody else. This Valiant, Vigilant marketed company is basically stealing money from people, and I mean, it's really out of the top. I don't even know how to explain it much more clear than that. It's completely out of hand, though.
Well, no, anytime you give the police officers that type of information and the ability to collect money, you just have more and more graft. I mean, how in the world do you know that they're actually processing it, or the officers are not taking cash or whatever? I mean, it's kind of crazy. Here's another interesting one. The Federal Reserve has just made another huge mistake. This is from the Economic Collapse blog. As stocks continue to crash, you can blame the Federal Reserve because the Fed is more responsible for creating the current financial bubble than we are living in than anyone else. That's absolutely the truth. When the Federal Reserve pushed interest rates all the way to zero, and then injected lots of hot money into the financial markets during the quantitative easing programs, they pushed stocks to wildly high prices. The only way it would have been possible to keep stocks at these high levels are to have kept the interest rates ultra low and to keep recklessly creating lots of new money, which is exactly what they did. But now the Federal Reserve has ended quantitative easing, so they say, as I don't believe that, by the way, and have embarked on a program of very slowly raising interest rates. We'll see if they do that. This is going to be very severe consequences for the markets, but Janet Yellen doesn't seem to care because Janet Yellen doesn't run the Fed. Are you kidding me? She's a chairman. She does what she's told to do. She's a sock puppet for Lucifer. She's nothing. It's like Obama. You know, that's why they're also scared of Trump, because they know that they can't control him like this. Janet Yellen does what she's told to do by the folks that run the banking cartels.
All the Rothschild boys.
That's right. That's exactly right. So the sad part about it is it's just is what it is. And I see if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to believe that, then just look it up. This is why you don't know what happened to the $19 trillion in off-book balance sheets that we found out from the audit that we did, and we don't really know where the money went. And when they asked Bernanke, he refused to tell it, and then he said that he was above the law along with Greenspan. I mean, are you kidding me? Above the law? Okay, well, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but it's just that's how they really feel. They really believe they can do anything they want to do, and there's nothing that you can do about it, and they're going to continue to do what they want to do. Yesterday, the markets...
Oh, yeah, we've talked about it before. I mean, if you want to understand how far the corruption goes, just look at the fact that the Federal Reserve will not allow itself to be audited. As I mentioned that one time, name me one other company, one other corporation in the United States that can elect to not be audited. They say, you're not going to audit us. We're just not going to allow that today. They're the only corporation in the United States that can do that. Congress can't even audit them. That's why Ron Paul, I was so excited when he brought this up years ago, and he pushed and he pushed and he pushed, and he got tons of traction, and he still couldn't get it done. They would not allow themselves to be audited because they know what they've done. Like you said before, the one thing that came out as soon as we found anything about their numbers is that they had $19 trillion in off-books balance sheets. That was just a tiny little fraction of what we found out, and they immediately said, oh, you can't look at that. Don't look at that. We don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't exist. That's not real. Don't look at that.
Remember, also, through the derivatives, they've signed us on to 2 quadrillion, which is 2,000 trillions. And it is what it is. I mean, 2,000 trillions, I mean, I don't even know what that means. That's like another whole level past trillions. I don't even know what goes after quadrillion. I guess it's quadrillion, I guess. So it's $2 quadrillion now, and I mean, 2,000 trillions. I mean, these numbers can't be sustained, and that's the problem. This is exactly what they did in 2000, well, all the way from like when the Banking Reform Act with Clinton was done in 99. They started pushing the housing market into that huge heated bubble, and all that stuff happened. If you want to, again, watch that movie that I watched last night, watch The Language. And an interesting one. Declassified memo proves now the Pentagon had zero evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. This is from Activist Post. 13 years after the invasion and occupation of Iraq, it is now common knowledge that this war of choice, I feel it was a war crime, was based on fabrications and slick propaganda. There were no weapons of mass destruction, the country posed no real threat to the United States, and it was not a hotbed of terrorism until after Saddam was deposed. Now a bombshell has dropped in the form of a leaked classified report, a smoking gun, if you will, that confirms the utter deception carried out by the American people to support the invasion. It demonstrates just how far the cabal under George W. Bush, making up a group known as the Project for the New American Century, would go to prey upon fear and pursuit of global hegemony. And what's interesting about this is remember, Iraq was going to start selling gold for oil, and they did not have a central bank in, and they weren't able to be manipulated, and they had to undo all of that. And that's why Wolfowitz, with the Wolfowitz doctrine, went in there and immediately set up a central bank in Iraq after we took control of the country. Guys, we appreciate you've got the music playing. We love you. Thank you for listening. Remember to support healthmasters.com. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you. That's healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. I'll be on Hagman tomorrow night. I'll try to do the show with Austin tomorrow afternoon, depending how prepped I am. Austin, you want to add anything?
No, that'll be it, guys. You guys have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and I'll try to be live again on Sunday night. I'm planning on being live on Sunday night. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.